for the sky, boy.
Let me tell y'all why we don't like Charlie Haas and Shelton Benjamin. You see, the majority of pro wrestling fans look at tag teams from Monday night. You know, they put them up on this pedestal just because they was on Monday Night Raw. Briscoes ain't never been on there. They must be down here. World's greatest tag team, hooray! Monday Night Raw, my ass. That's the number one reason why we don't like Charlie Haas and Shelton Benjamin, because people, the average wrestling fan, the majority of wrestling fans, not all of them, but the majority of wrestling fans put them above the Briscoes by default. Now let me tell y'all a story. About two and a half years ago, we had a little trial match for WWE. It was before a SmackDown taping in Philadelphia. We went in there, had a little tryout, you know, did our thing, whatever. I guess they was impressed because they invited us down to Florida for a week at their little FCW Developmental Center.
All expenses paid.
All expenses paid in the Hyatt, chilling. But either way, we was down there, you know, had a little tryout. We was down there for a week. I thought things went good.
And that's what they said, too.
We thought it went real good down there. And everybody was telling us, yeah, y'all doing real good. Y'all might get these contracts. This was 2 years ago. I'm just seeing dollar signs. They talking about y'all might get these contracts. So, you know, we're waiting around. We get back home. We waiting. I'm telling all my boys, like, yeah, we did it down there. We getting ready to all be eating. It's going to be on our tag. We done did it down there, boys. You know, we hype. I'm telling my wife she ain't never going to have work again. You know, she can quit bartending. Shit, we got this. You know, so we wait a month go by, another couple months, we get a phone call. Apparently, the Briscoes are not cosmetically pleasing enough for the WWE. That exact words.
Come on now.
Exact words. Cosmetically pleasing. Well, excuse me, Mr. John Laurinaitis. I forgot this was a damn beauty contest. Cosmetically pleasing my ass.
Preach, brother.
And the thing that got me, man, the boys down in developmental, I mean, yeah, you got some good ones, of course. Mainly the people from ROH, but the majority of them weren't even really that nice. You know what I'm saying? They come right out of modeling school, right off of the tough man contest where they show their little muscles and shit. They walk right into developmental, sign a little deal, you know, train in developmental for a few months. Then next thing you know, they're on TV, they're millionaires.
Hey, what happened to paying your dues, brother?
What the hell happened to paying your dues?
What happened to paying your dues?
You know, we broke in old school about 12 years ago for y'all young boys. About 12 years ago, I remember setting up the chairs, setting up the ring before the show, a bullshit indie show that's going to be about 40 people there, and I'd be hype as a bitch. You remember that, setting up them chairs?
And getting cussed out because we ain't set them up straight enough.
Well, yeah, getting the ring ready and everything, hype. Getting ready to wrestle in front of 40 people. Y'all have no idea what that's like. Y'all can't even relate to that. Back in the day, coming up through the indies, grinding your way up. But no, we're not cosmetically pleasing enough to get paid. I guess that's what they're trying to tell us. That's what they're trying to tell us. Charlie Haas, I guess you spent a couple weeks on the indies, grinding your way through. Shit, Shelton Benjamin, you the main kind of type of dude we talking about.
How many rings you done set up now, Shelton?
How many rings you set up, Shelton?
How many rows of chairs you done put out there, Shelton?
If final battle, if this show, Friday night final battle, depended on Shelton Benjamin setting up the ring and setting up all the chairs, it wouldn't be no show. It wouldn't be no damn show because he don't know what the hell he's doing. He ain't paid his damn dues in my book. In our book, he ain't paid his dues. Go fight live people, be sitting there like,
man, I don't know.
They don't know what the hell to do. If Shelton Benjamin, if we depended on that bitch to get this show ready. But see, that's what you do as a pro wrestler. As a pro wrestler, that's what the hell you do. But y'all can't relate to that. Y'all millionaires, man. We get up every single day, go to work, support the kids, support the wife. Every single day, man, we don't get sit down on the beach in Tampa, hold our balls, get a suntan. And then do a little show. Next thing you know, we called up. We millionaires. And they like that for us. We're not cosmetically pleasing enough for that shit. Y'all had no idea, man. Looking at foreclosures and shit. I'm getting ready to get foreclosed on. At least that's what they say, but I'm going to make it through. Trust me. I'm a grinder, baby.
You ain't got to worry about that. You ain't got to worry about that, though, big money. You need a little knee surgery. You spring your pinky finger or something. That's on Vinny Mac to have.
Yeah, Vinny covered right. that.
Shoot, I'm still paying off my bills from Detroit. Hmm. Look it up.
Yeah, Detroit. WrestleMania weekend, a few years back. Look that up. Look that up.
I'm paying that for the rest of my life.
Hey, but that's all right. Hey, back to the topic, though. Shelton Benjamin, you got an easy ride, boy. In our eyes, that's why your ribs taped up. Charlie Haas, you ain't much better either. That's why your ribs taped up, Shelton Benjamin, on some David Otunga shit. Jennifer Hudson, my A. You look better when you was fat, bitch. Shit. Well, back to the topic. This Friday night, you can look at it however you want to. You can look at it as WWE versus ROH. You can look at it as sports entertainment versus pro wrestling. You can look at it as complacent, satisfied, rich people versus hungry, still coming at your ass. Poor people, they don't give a shit, cause we still coming.
It ain't got nothing to lose.
Bottom line is, it's the world's greatest tag team versus them boys. And I mean, I don't like to say, I don't like to use the term biggest match of our career, but never in the 12 years that we've been doing this shit have we had so much to prove. The belts don't be numb. It's going to be 7 times regardless. Charlie Haas, Shelton Benjamin, this Friday night, we got to prove a point, boys.
Hey, high fivers. This is your boy, High Five Tom. And real quick, just getting the episode started here. But as you can tell, I am going solo dolo this week. And my boy Will, unfortunately, had some life issues come up, so he's not going to make it on this week. So I'm going solo. And feel kind of like a stack of dicks right now. So I'm a little bit under the weather, so be patient with me. But this week, I'm going to be going over Ring of Honor TV. From January 21st, 2012, this episode emanates from Baltimore, which holds a special plate in my Ring of Honor heart, as I was very fortunate to see the first show back in Baltimore this past summer, and also was able to luck myself in some front row tickets for Final Battle, both in Baltimore, but those are stories for another time. But yeah, this show is filled up with a bunch of highlights from Final Battle. Will and I had gone over Final Battle 2011 a couple weeks ago. Yeah, this one kind of starts off just showing our highlights from the main event, where the former partners and tag team champions, the American Wolves, Davey Richards and diehard Eddie Edwards, had battled for the Ring of Honor title. We had gone over that in full length, but a great match, just showing some highlights and just showing how those two went to war. Over that belt and everything. So, and that did a good job kind of showing the ins and outs of that match for probably about a good 2 minutes. And then after that, we start off with a Mike Mondo promo. So Mike Mondo, I thought looked familiar. Dude was built like a brick shithouse, man. Looks like $1 million. But yeah, Mike Mondo, formerly known, commonly known from the Spirit Squad. Cuts a pretty, he's facing Eddie Edwards tonight, and cuts a pretty good promo. He headbutts the locker, but I had to crack up. He says, "We're gonna go Eddie, diehard Eddie Edwards. Well, we're just gonna be cry hard when he's done with me." So, I really enjoyed the promo. Like I said, the guy looks like $1 million. They cut to the match. Really good match. Great back and forth. Listen, Mondo's super athletic, and Eddie Edwards. I mean, they don't call a guy diehard because he enjoys the movie. Guy is a machine in the ring, but at the end of the day, Edwards outsmarts him, outlasts him, and gets the win over Mike Mondo, who I have a feeling we're probably gonna be seeing more in the future. And then after that, we go to the highlights of Dem Boys versus Wrestling's Greatest Tag Team. I keep calling them World's Greatest Tag Team, but some forensic slips. But once again, what a bloodbath those two had. Great match. I definitely suggest if you haven't done so already, go back and watch that. But their promo, they're really starting to lean. They were technically supposed to be the faces in that match, but this promo and future episodes shows them go more heel, which I thought was a great move. And, you know, listen, Charlie Haas just goes on to say that them boys only won because they made one mistake. And they just go on a tirade on how the crowd could turn on such a great tag team. I mean, shit, less than a year ago, they were cheering the hell out of when they beat the Kings of Wrestling, Chris Hero and Claudio Castagnoli, for the tag team titles. Now, then they go on and start talking about Jim Cornette had fined them $5,000 for the chair shots to the head on Jay Briscoe. And you're like, well, you know, that's $5,000, fine. But where were the fines when the Briscoes kept attacking Shelton and hitting him in the ribs with the chairs? Where were the fines then? Just go on a tirade. And then after that, we've got Cornette. Just does a really quick promo here. And he kind of explains, you know, with concussions and that, you know, this is wrestling. They don't hit people in the head with chairs. Kind of explaining why he had fined the wrestling's greatest tag team. And, you know, he doesn't understand why the New York crowd likes them boys. You know, some people just like crazy things. And he's like, I don't know. Some people are just fans of Charles Manson. So who knows what's going on there. So then we switch. We've got Cornette in the ring this time. And he's talking to the aforementioned Briscoe brothers. And real quick, a quick sidebar here. So Will had sent me a video a couple weeks ago about the Briscoe brothers, and they were on some kind of restaurant show, and they're talking about Scrapple. If any of the high fivers out there can, I mean, I did some research. I don't know if this is a regional Delaware thing or if it's a B-more thing or what the heck Scrapple is, but if anyone could tweet a brother out here at High Five Tom, let me know what Scrapple is and where I can get some. I mean, I'll try just about anything. So, quick tirade, but yeah, the Briscoes, they bring up that $5,000, and they're just like, "Hey Jim, where's that $5,000 go? You know, does that go to you? Does that go to Dave Honor? Where does that $5,000 go? Because I mean, he's like, we're the ones that got hit in the head. We should get the $5,000." And shit, while we're at it, we'll have the whole damn locker room come in and hit his church $5,000 shot. Start ourselves a little retirement fund. But after that, them boys kind of go on and just kind of explain, you know, they've been wrestling in Baltimore since they were teenagers. You know, they're kind of talk a little bit how their dad would drive them to shows as they're little kids, and you know, that's they got a lot of history here in Baltimore. So, and then Cornette goes lots of challengers for that belt. Mark says, line them up. We'll knock them down, or line them up like ducks, and we'll knock them down just like ducks. And I did a horrible Mark Briscoe impression there, but check out the promo. You know, it's great work by Cornette. He is, by all intents and purposes, seems to be a mark for them boys. So I'm okay with that. So then next we have Ricky Reyes to battle Roddy Strong. I knew a little bit about Ricky Reyes. I knew him as Cortez Castro on Lucha Underground. If anyone knows High Five Tom, knows that I am a Lucha Underground mark. But did a little bit of digging. It turns out that, I mean, he's been a Ring of Honor staple since, you know, almost since the beginning. And he went as far back as he was with Rocky Romero. Who, quick sidebar, I mean, that guy has been doing this for so long, Rocky Romero. Everything that guy touches gold. I am definitely a mark for that guy. But, yeah, they were a tag team, the Havana Pitbulls, way back in 2002. But, yeah, a really good match. Nigel and Kevin Kelly both put over Reyes really super strong. You know, he's definitely one of those guys where he's not the biggest dog in the fight, but he's got the biggest fight of any dog in the match. And you got Truth Martini on the stick and, well, just doing the Truth Martini things. And, yeah, Castro really takes to Roddy. Roddy gets kind of cocky, but in the end he gets a quick distraction and rolls him up and grabs him by the tights and gets the roll-up win for the roll-up for the win. So next we've got one of my favorite segments. So anyone that knows me knows I am a Kevin Steen mark. I'm going to go into this a little bit more depth at the end of this segment. But yeah, next year is really his first comment since Final Battle. Just a quick review, he battled Steve Corino to get his job back at Final Battle. And then at the end, he put Steve Corino in the hospital. He package pile drive Jimmy Jacobs to put him in the hospital. And then he package pile El Generico through a ladder onto the floor and sending him to the hospital. You know, and he just talks about how Ring of Honor and Jim Cornette mainly screwed him in 2011. And at the end of the day, he's taking Ring of Honor hostage at this point to take back. And he's taking everyone hostage. So it's going to be fun to see what we've got coming from Kevin Steen coming up here in 2012, everybody. Then we got another quick promo. Then we've got Prince Nana with the Sicilian psychopath Tommaso Ciampa. And they're introducing a new character, R.D. Evans. R.D. Evans is a new international partner with Prince Nana and Tommaso Ciampa, and they're just talking how they're going to take Ciampa to the next level. So, man, Ciampa here, dude, looks like a million bucks, man. You could definitely, he's got star written all over him, so I bet you he's got a bright future in that guy. Then we've got another quick promo. This time we've got Kyle O'Reilly and Ring of Honor champion Davey Richards. And it appears next week they're going to be taking on Caprice Coleman and Cedric Alexander, two of mine and Will's favorites. You know, someone I didn't know much about until I dug into this. And there's kind of Davey's like, yeah, I'm known for a tag team wrestler, but I've definitely gone on to bigger and better things. I've been focused on this title. And then Veda Scott asked, you know, Kyle is like, man, what's the future of Future Shock, pun intended here. He's like, oh, no, man, you know, Adam will be fine with this. And then after that, he's like, Davey, New American Wolves. So after that, Davey, like the big brother, says, one thing at a time, kid, one thing at a time. Great promo. I mean, listen, I mean, it's Davey Richards being Davey Richards. Anytime I can see Kyle O'Reilly on my screen, I'm pretty happy about that. So, and the last match we got here was Matt Jackson of the Young Bucks versus Kenny King of the All Night Express. And at the time, neither of these guys were really known for their singles wrestling. But as we covered before, Rhett had been knocked out with a knee injury by them boys and then aggravated by the Young Bucks, setting up this tag team match, which was a lot of fun. You know, this is a great main event. You know, Rhett did come down to, you know, back up Kenny, and of course Nick's down there to back up his brother. And you can tell these two really really have a bright future in Ring of Honor. And man, let me tell you, I mean, if you haven't seen it, the Bucks playing this young, cocky, you know, millennial cocky heel thing, man, they're just coming, they've just been fired from Impact. They just got over the controversy with Booker T, and they're not handshaking this and the whole kit and caboodle. And man, do they play this up to a T. Great stuff, but yeah, good back and forth. Got a little technical, a little high-flying. Kenny gets the upper hand. He definitely gets the coronation on Matt, but Matt kicks out at the very last second. And then Kenny gets in the ring, gets out of the ring, he's getting ready for the springboard. Nick whacks him with one of Rhett Titus's crutches that I forgot to mention that Nick had gone over and been harassing Rhett and stole one of his crutches. And then Matt rolls up Kenny for the win. You know, a little chicanery here, and maybe not Kenny's or 5 feet were in the rope. So maybe this match gets contested. So we shall see in the future what the future holds for these two teams and these two singles wrestlers. So, you know, and like I said, our Will and I's gimmick is, you know, after we got to discussing the TV episode, if that episode would have drawn us into Ring of Honor TV going forward, what if we had seen it live? And I will tell you with this episode, an emphatic fuck yeah. I really, really enjoyed this episode. You know, obviously we all know I'm a mark for them boys and Kevin Steen, and they were all over it, but there was great action. There was great storytelling. You know, there was really good promos kind of explaining what's going on. Kevin Kelly and Nigel once again killed it. I loved everything about this episode. So far of the episodes we've reviewed so far, this has by far been my best. And this episode would have got me hook, line, and sinker. As a Ring of Honor fan going forward. So definitely love this one. So and, hopefully, you know, next week you can talk to Will and kind of go over this episode a little bit, see what he thought. We had talked, you know, quote, quotes offline a little bit, and he really enjoyed this too. So, yeah, so that is Ring of Honor TV for January 21st, 2012. Next, we are going on to, there was also don't know what they call these shows, if they're televised house shows or what they are. But there was a homecoming episode, and as if you don't know, that Ring of Honor actually started in Philadelphia. So they went to that homecoming show on January 20th of 2021, and another really good episode. Like I said, I don't know if this is a full, a pay-per-view or not, but they start off with the legend Bobby Cruz, and just I know I keep saying this, but after after not seeing Bobby Cruz and seeing him in other places, really underrated importance to Ring of Honor overall. Excuse me. Guy did a great job on the mic, and he really. There's a lot of people that learn from him, and his tree goes very far. But he gets in the ring and he announces that Eddie Edwards will not be competing tonight, because it looks like he's got a staph infection in his elbow, and the medical team will not let him compete. But of course, Eddie Edwards being Eddie Edwards, he's not going to let that slide. So he comes on out, cuts a promo. He says, "You know who you are in the back. And medical doctors be damned. I'm going to find you and we're going to get this taken care of." And for the first time ever, this is classic Philadelphia and classic Ring of Honor, classic Ring of Honor 2012. But fuck the doctors chant starts. That's new for me, so I don't know if I ever heard a fuck the doctor's chant. So high fivers out there if you've ever heard that before, let a brother know. But next we've got world's greatest, excuse me, wrestling's greatest tag team. And last week I have to admit Will nailed it. They went into that match in final or that match playing the faces, but man, they were booed as heels. And this is awesome. I don't know if this is the plan all along or if they're going with Kurt Angle, but they really leaned into it. Cutting a promo, just classic heel stuff. Classic, I hate this place. And Benjamin's like, it's, pissed that a full of idiots would boo the world's greatest tag team. I can't wait to leave, Philly, the butt crack of America. Before they do, they have Future Shocks on their hand. And who is Future Shock, you may ask? Well, as I referenced a little earlier in our TV, Future Shock is comprised of Adam Cole, Bebe, and Kyle O'Reilly. Great young tag team. They were just starting at this time. But man, looking back, once again, this tag team division at the time was stacked. Yeah, Wrestling's Greatest Tag Team definitely went on to more striking their heels, dealing in, digging in his heels. And really, really taking it to Future Shock. But man, Cole and O'Reilly, they gave as good as they got. They held their own for sure. But a big mistake is O'Reilly is whipping some ass, but strikes Cole in the air. And then World's Greatest Tag Team hits the world's greatest finisher for the win. And of course, get booed out of the building. Great job, Philly crowd. Super hot for this match. And to be honest, I was impressed, man. They were hot all night. Definitely making their presence known. So, I've only been to Philadelphia once for a show, and yeah, their reputation does precede them. So, but next, then we've got a four-way Survivor match with a Sicilian Psycho, Tommaso Ciampa, right leg Andy Ridge, Mike Bennett, and Grizzly Redwood. I've seen Grizzly Redwood a little bit. I don't know much about him. And I'd seen Andy Ridge right leg a little bit, but I did some research. It looks like he retired shortly after this. Looks like the kid, I mean, he had a good move set. He moved really good. But yeah, this was yeah, he was only active for 3 years, and it was after that. But but yeah, like I said, Grizzly Redwood, I don't know much about him. I'm not necessarily sold on him. He's got a lot of heart. And the match starts off with Ciampa and Bennett being the heels, kind of teaming up. But these two egomaniacs, that's not going to last very long. And then on the call here, there are some references to Chikara, which I have a feeling this might be the beginning of their invasion that we might be hearing more about in the future. Make a long story short, Grizzly Redwood does a great job. Playing the David to Tommaso Ciampa's Goliath. But at the end of the day, Ciampa, per the usual, asserts his dominance and rocks the Project Ciampa for the 1-2-3. And Ciampa's still undefeated. And he'll be going on to face Jay Lethal in 24 hours in a Proving Ground match. I'll probably talk about that next week. But Jay Lethal's is in the main event. So later on, Ciampa talks about, will we be facing Jay Lethal for the TV title? Or will he be facing it for the Ring of Honor title? That we will go on to see. But next, we've got a Future Shock promo. And it's kind of weird. You know, it's weird. Adam Cole's upset that Kyle O'Reilly hit him. Where have I seen that before? But just a quick promo here. Just kind of probably, you know, in the end, sowing the seeds of their breakup. Which is going to be kind of sad to see because Future Shock was pretty effing awesome. But then Steve Corino comes out. He's stating he was once an evil man. But 2011, he was really able to turn around and, you know, he's able to turn that evilness around and, you know, become a better man. And even though he was the one responsible for letting the monster back in the company, he felt he earned the respect of the fans, the office, and more importantly, himself. But then guess who? Yep. Kevin Steen comes out, guns a-blazing. I'm going to put this promo actually at the end of this episode. Great Kevin Steen work here. But he just starts laying into Corino. You know, why was he good? Because Steen was gone and, you know, Corino was best at when he was quote-unquote evil. And the simple fact that the fans should have respected him from the beginning. And respect from the office, fuck that. The office of Jim Cornette, you know, and Jim Cornette, what's that fat motherfucker got to say? His words, not mine. It goes off to list Cornette's accomplishments, you know, running Smoky Mountain Wrestling into the ground, getting fired for lipping off to his boss and a bunch of other stuff. And he reminds Corino, the only person who he should respect, whose respect he should care about is his own. All the while getting after the crowd, some really great Kevin Steen is and at the crowd. Loved it. Like I said, yeah, I'll tack this on at the end of the episode, and you can enjoy it for yourself. But if then at the end of the promo, he's like I said, if you're upset the monster is back, hey, do something. And he drops the mic and offers Corino the first shot, but Corino walks out, and out comes Steen's opponent. Which is Kenny King. And man, right off the bat, these two just start a swinging. But after that initial flurry, Steen definitely gets the upper hand. And of course, he keeps his jaw jacking with the crowd. And the announcers, it was Nigel McGuinness wasn't on this, and I forgot to catch the guy's name. I was going to ask Will this because Will's smarter than I am, but I forgot to mention someone I hadn't heard before. But they really put over how evil Steven is. And, but King fires back and gets some offense in Steen to the enjoyment of the crowd. But King gets Steen ready for a monkey flip from the corner. But Steen turns it into an F5 for the win. Then Steen puts the boots to King and Titus comes in for the save. But gets a knee ass whooping for his trouble. Next we've got Michael Elgin versus Chris Hero in a special challenge match. We talked about earlier that Chris Hero came out after a little bit of a reprise from Ring of Honor. Like I said, he was in the Kings of Wrestling previously with Claudio Castagnoli. I think I pronounced that correctly. Now known as WWF Superstar Cesaro. He'd been gone, and he had answered the Roddy Strong challenge at Final Battle. This time, he's challenging Roddy's House of Truth partner, Michael Elgin. I know we've put Michael Elgin before. I mean, sorry about that. I do have a cold, so bear with me here. But, you know, he did answer the battle, Roddy, but he did lose that challenge. And all I could say, you know, listen, we're not a big fan of Michael Elgin as a human being, but man, the man can work. And I know we've said this before, but if you've never seen non-WWF Chris Hero, sorry, WWE, Chris Hero, check it out. Chris here is a whole nother animal when he's not Cassius Ohno. That's all I can say. The guy strikes from all over the place. And Elgin's style and his style is really, really mesh for just a, as Jim Ross like to call it, a fucking slobber match. Slobber knocker. But yeah, this match went as expected. They beat the piss out of each other. And of course, you know, Truth Martini being Truth Martini has got to provide a little distraction. Enough for Elgin to block a kick and pick up Hero for a power bomb and the win. Afterwards, Shane Agador comes in to berate Hero, saying that Hero has been losing since he came back. But with Agador's help, he could change those. I didn't get a chance to really dig into their history here. I know of Shane Agador. I know, obviously, him and Chris Hero have got some history. But he berates him, you know, and Agador is just like, you were part of the longest running tag team champions in Ring of Honor history. And now you're losing to guys like this. And eventually, Hero gets fed up and decks him. So we'll like to see where that goes from there. And then Kevin Steen is back on my screen. And whenever Kevin Steen's not back on my screen, life is good. You know, a little backstage promo saying, you know, saying at the end of 2010, his career ended. But in 2011 ended, he got it back. And a 2000 year is a year of destruction. And yes, he loves animals, but he wants his wolf. It's until Cornette gives him what he wants, all of Ring of Honor is on notice. Then we've got a quick backstage promo where Truth and Elgin talk about how Chris Hero, he gave him one kick, couldn't knock him down. Two kicks, couldn't knock him down. Three kicks, couldn't knock him down. And 2012, a lot of people are talking about the end of the world, because you remember back in 2012, everyone thought the world was going to end. Of course, what does someone do when the world's going to end? They go to Machu Picchu in 2012. But that's another story in itself. Little sidetrack there, sorry. But yeah, a lot of talk about the end of the world coming, but they should be talking about Michael Elgin and his path of destruction for the Ring of Honor. Truth adds, God said all men were created equal, and then Elgin chimes in, but they were wrong. Next, we go to the ring. We got a Roddy promo running down Edwards for being hurt. But then Adam Cole comes out after a year and already had a match. He says he respects Roddy, but he has something that approves and appears Cole's going to have a second match. But this one's going to be no holds barred. And for a house show, man, these two beat the piss out of each other. Looking at it from 2022 eyes, you see where their future chemistry really started. But the match broke down with Elgin coming in to interfere and Edwards coming to make the save. But after an ass-kicking, Adam Cole battles back. He gets a super kick in on Roddy. But Truth grabs the referee before he can get the three count. And Roddy is able to get his wits back a bit. Get his wits about him. Pulls out the backbreaker for the win. But really, the story of this match is that Cole gets a standing ovation afterwards, which was awesome to see. I'm really kind of looking forward to talking about that with Will. It's a little harder when you're going solo dolo, but man, kid's got a future. We'll be looking into, you know, at the end of 2012, we're going to be looking at this as a turning point in the superstar that may or may not become Adam Cole. Then we get the Briscoes talking about how they've got a proving ground match against Jigsaw and Holly Wicked. I believe are from Chikara, which I did confirm later. But basically, proving ground match, Jigsaw and Holly Wicked, they've got 20 minutes. If they can last 20 minutes or beat them boys, they get a future title shot. But they're not even a Ring of Honor contracted star. So I didn't get a chance to do any research about either of these guys. I know a little bit about Jigsaw. I know they're from Chikara. But yeah, into Chikara, if you don't know, was a more family-friendly style. And it's definitely not how the Briscoes roll. So this was a fun clash of styles in more ways than one. You know, Jigsaw and Holly Wicked, they're not exactly what you call large superstars. You know, so they do a lot of high-flying stuff like that. And obviously the Briscoes are just ground and pound, beaching the ass, you know, everything. So, but yeah, the Briscoes get the upper hand with some sheer brutality. But then Mike Quackenbush, who owned Chikara at the time, comes out with the rest of the Chikara roster, kind of throwing the Briscoes for a loop a little bit. But, yeah, Jerry tries to rip the mask off of Jigsaw. But then Fire Ant from the Chikara roster comes in to make the save, and Fire Ant, he may look familiar. So we may that guy may have a future too with a different gimmick, but we'll talk about that later. But yeah, Fire Ant, he gets run some interference, and then Jigsaw rolls Jay up for the win, and bam. Yeah, Jigsaw and Holly Wicked, the Chikara tag team, to have a future title shot against the Briscoes. And it looks like that's probably going to go down in Chicago. It looks like in April, I think they said. So should be interesting to see where that all happens. It's more of a more story. You know, it's not just about the match, but see what's going on with the invasion. But of course, the Briscoes, as they do, they get on the mic. And, you know, they tell everyone this is complete bullshit. You know, they didn't sign up to fight baseball players, bitches, and Looney Tunes. And these boys just signed their death wish in Chicago in the Belcher line. They're going to die. Then Chikara, Ultra Madness Black, I believe it said, retorts saying they don't like how the Briscoes act and they don't respect the mask, so they are going to take the gold from them. Then we go on to the main event. The main event here is the American Wolf, the Ring of Honor champion, Davey Richards versus Jay Lethal, who is currently the TV champ. You know, for some odd reason, I am not really a Lethal guy. I don't know why. It's just one of those things. But as you know, as I'm going through these older shows, I think I may have missed something. He had a classic rivalry with El Generico, who is also someone I was not a fan of, you know, previously. But man, this match, you know, Lethal showed why he's a TV champ, and I have a feeling probably, you know, a future champ. You know, Davey Richards being Davey Richards, man, that dude hits hard. You know, Lethal came back to Ring of Honor after being very unceremoniously fired from Impact, and I think he came back to Ring of Honor with really something to prove. You know, but yeah, great match. What can I say? They really beat the piss out of each other. And yeah, once again, that Philly crowd was hot for this one. And a quick sidebar here, what I really liked about this match was Kevin Kelly and the other announcer really kind of talked about the trials and tribulations, you know, basically just the travel days that these guys go through and all the hard work. You know, like a lot of wrestlers, I can't remember who I stole this from, but, you know, they get paid to travel and the wrestling's free. But they really went into, like, you know, how much they travel and all the things they've got to go through to stay in shape. And I thought that was really cool. I mean, if you know, I know that kind of stuff. You know, I've been very fortunate. I remember one time I drove 4 hours to take some friend of mine to a show, you know, and I got there and I was exhausted. And these fuckers, you know, went and wrestled, you know, and I drove back and then these guys had a show the next day, you know, and just that's just quote unquote local guys. You know, just trying to, you know, eke out a living. So I thought that was really cool that they really talked about, you know, what these guys go through, and it's just not what happens in the ring. But yeah, back to the match. Like I said, yeah, crowd was super hot. Great back and forth. You know, Davey Richards, he beat the piss out of Jay Lethal. And Jay Lethal took every bit of it. You know, maybe, just maybe, if Roddy hadn't interfered, maybe Jay Lethal would have pulled off the win. But yeah, after the match, Richards, you know, states him being the champ. He does whatever the fuck he wants and, you know, gets on the mic and he really puts Lethal over. You know, he says Lethal's got a, you know, future for sure. And if they want to do it again, they could do it. And then they shake hands and then there's going to be a future match. So, well, like I said, what a match for a quote unquote house show. And it really just shows what Ring of Honor is really all about at this time. So, yeah, great show. Great. It was a quick 3 hours. I had a little bit of everything. Anytime I get to see Dim Boys beat the piss out of somebody, even though they lost, I got to see Kevin Steen promos. I got to see Kevin Steen match. Really enjoyed. Like I said, I'm looking more of a fuller review with Will next week. But, yeah, like I said, this show, I know it's not a TV show, but if I'd seen this, you know, standalone, I definitely would have got into Ring Honor myself. So, but, yeah, high fivers. I just thanks everybody. I know it's not the most quality recording, and I do apologize for me sniffling a bunch in the recording here, but, you know, as the saying goes, the show must go on. So I appreciate all of you, and I'll talk to everybody next week, and you guys enjoy this Kevin Steen promo.
You said you used to be an evil man. I was in the ring with you in Final Battle. And as much as you don't want to admit it, trust me, you are an evil man. Because you know it's in your blood just as well as I do. And by the way, I'm coming out here to make something clear. What happened to you in Final Battle, it wasn't fun for me. It was actually a little painful because you were my idol. You understand that? Philadelphia is the city where the king of old school was born. And listen to you kill the king of old school, because what you were just doing was burying it. So I'm going to bring you back to reality. And I'm going to make you admit things that you buried for a year. First of all, the respect from the boys. Are you kidding? Who in this locker room do you need to earn respect from? These people should have respected you from the start. Which brings me to respect from the office. Now let's be honest, the office now is one fat, miserable man named Jim Cornette. And now you feel like you've earned his respect, and that makes you feel so good. What is so great about Jim Cornette that makes everybody admire him and makes everyone want his respect? Let's see. Let's list off his accomplishments. He ran a hit company in hit towns called Smoky Mountain that went nowhere. Very impressive. He slapped Santino and got fired. And number four, and this one I hope people pay close attention to, he threatened death upon his former boss because they didn't agree on wrestling. That's the guy you bribe to have respect you? Let me tell you something, the only person you should bribe to get respect from is yourself, bud. And see, as far as these people are concerned, I guarantee that 99% of them respect you more when you're trying to stab somebody with a fork than when you're kissing.